again by the riverside, and I won't forget it. And you're gonna kill me as a token of your gratitude? I must say, that's pretty original. Well, that's the only way I can help. Sorry about it. If you lose any stuff, I'll carry it to that oak. Just wait up for me there. Well, they're gonna kill you too. Is your bind point far away? It is. Well, that sucks. I'm not planning to respawn. I'll try to get away, and I'm not the kind of quarry you can deal with easily. Sorry for breaking it to you, but you're just a noob. Hey, I'm a weird noob. A very weird one, actually. I've noticed that. You're quick, but their trackers will get you in the end. I'll give it a try anyway. Well, okay, let's do that. I'd really hate it if they manage to get me, and they will. I don't have enough stamina for running around. You've put everything into accuracy, didn't you? Almost everything, yes. Thought as much. Once they realize I'm gone, it will be a matter of honor for them to try and catch you. They're gonna need a whipping boy, after all. Didn't you say you had nothing of value except for the rings? I often die when my name is in red lettering. I mostly lose everything before I manage to get rich. The rings and the bow are the only things that are worth anything. The rest is total crap. Give me your boots. If you don't mind, I'll need them to escape the pursuit. I'll give you another pair later on. Duh. I won't mind walking barefoot, as long as they don't catch up with you. Here you go. They're common as muck, and there's hardly any durability left. Yeah, I got them from a mob. They're nearly done for. Nothing of value, so I wouldn't miss them. Another thing I need is a map of this terrain. If you leveled up your cartography at all, now is the time to share. Bubble, have you decided to kill me and rob me as well? Well, my moral standards are pretty low. I'm sending you this part of the map. Here goes. Thanks. Well, are you ready? Sure. I really wonder how many hours it's gonna take you to do away with my HP bar completely. Those guys will be here much quicker than that. Theory pointed at the sky emphatically as the Wyvern was making yet another round. A few minutes are all I need. Don't lie to me. Don't twitch. That's all I'm asking for. Ross took a few steps, then turned back and hit the girl with a chaos aura. The spell was rather tricky. When he had first received it, he didn't manage to make sense of its mechanics and thought it to be perfectly useless. It turned out to be anything but. Nevertheless, there was usually no point in using it more than once during a battle. The spell affected one's HP bar, lowering it by 10% for a few seconds. That is, if one's full HP bar was 100 points, it would shrink down to 90. Once the spell would run its course, the bar would expand to its former size. But what was the point of the spell then? The point was that even though the HP bar got restored to its former 100-point glory, one would still have 90 HP. The lost points were not restored. If you used the spell twice, it would no longer have any effect. It wouldn't lower one's HP bar lower than 90 points at any rate. It also made no sense to use it on an opponent with just a few health points left, for their bar would not be full. But it was useful in a fight against an enemy with lots of HP. You could use it on a strong boss, and it would lose 10% of its health instantly. There was another thing, the most important one, most likely. Chaos was an unusual school. The overwhelming majority of players had no resistance to chaos spells, and there were spells that could get through all types of defense anyway. So Ross didn't miss. Theory cringed. You didn't even take a single point off my HP bar. This is pointless. Wait for a second or two. Yeah, like anything is gonna happen. Hey, what's this? My HP bar has just shrunk. Not bad at all. That's pretty decent damage. It's not quite damage. It would take a long time to explain. Get on with it already. Don't just stand there. The Chaos Arrow didn't hurt Theory much. It only took off 2 or 3%. Fortunately, he had managed to level that spell up back in the days when he used to hunt monsters so much stronger than him that he was a mere midge before them. The high-level pet really came in handy back then. It was a pity that the laws of the game had changed, and he could no longer do what he could. Nevertheless, he did manage to use it many a time, and hold a few useful features back. In particular, his cooldown time was a lot shorter now than originally. Skills grew the same as levels if you used them often enough against serious foes. Another strike, followed by another. He managed to deal some critical damage, and the HP bar shrunk a lot more visibly. For a character of such an advanced level, Theory sure was a rag doll. He understood why Highlander assassins were so unpopular. Even noobs of the most pathetic sort were a danger to them. They got serious damage where others would get off without a scratch. But this was not the real world, where death would be considered a tragedy. While Ross kept taking off the girl's HP, she bantered with him about her plans for the nearest future. "Bubble, it's gonna take you a while to get to that tree, if you manage to get there at all, and if you feel like coming in the first place. I told you I would come, didn't I? Have you forgotten that I'm the guy to be trusted? Somehow, that sounds like a lot of BS to me." "All right, let me put it another way. You've managed to make a certain impression, and I have a certain amount of sympathy for you. I'd rather we stayed in touch." "Well now, that sounds more plausible. So wait up, and I'll get there. It's too boring to wait. I'll go offline. We'll get in touch once I'm back." "All right, I'm almost done here. You'll respawn any moment now."
"I see. Catch you later, Bubble."
"See you later, Theory." You kill Thirinawaria Reineilla. XP received 862. Points left until the next level, 891,284. Ross's name didn't redden, even though the girl didn't hit him once. PKs can be killed in any condition. One could even use them for leveling up. He got some decent XP. However, killing such players time and again and rejoicing at one's progress was a non-option. They lost a few unvanquished karma points each time they died and became white eventually. And killing a player with a white name would no longer give you any experience. On the contrary, your own name would be displayed in reddish lettering. Theory was right to worry about her expensive rings. One of them did get lost. He was surprised once he took a good look at it. Silvered Ring of Concentration. Properties, merging. Item quality, good. Auxiliary stats, +5 to accuracy, +1 to attack. Requirements, level 33. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Durability, 71 out of 115. The ring was merely yellow, which corresponded to the rare class. Such items weren't actually all that rare. You could get one dropped by a simple mob easily enough. As for elite mobs and low-level bosses, those could drop a couple of those at once. They were also rather easy to make, so the items were common enough and available to all players. Theory must have been in a real tight spot, money-wise, if she valued a bunch of cheap knick-knacks that much. Ross wasn't stingy, and he was rather impulsive. He felt somewhat out of sorts about having had to kill his companion. Even though she came from out of nowhere, and he could discern no reason for her being there, he intuitively felt there was nothing to fear from her. She wasn't a representative of one of the clans hunting him or anything like that. What could she have been then? So far, he had no idea. Theory was easy to get along with. He didn't have to hide. It would make no sense to try to conceal one's secrets from someone who kept finding you in a place where any search was a challenging enough affair. They didn't just find him either. They could predict where he would appear next. Theory had been waiting for him in one of those places. He hadn't enchanted anything in a while. If he kept going like that, he would probably forget how it was done altogether. He wasn't doing any repairs either. That wasn't good. Soul Crystal, Trapped Creature, Gray Moss Dweller, Trapped Creature Level 149, Special Stats, Enhanced Creature, Stats, Agility, Accuracy, Stamina, Fire Resistance, Critical Hit Chance, Vigor Regeneration. All those stats would fit Theory perfectly. Ross didn't just pick a random crystal after all. Stamina would not do her any good. A few extra points wouldn't make a difference, and she'd keep dying just as quickly. But Ross could pick other stats. Attention. Do you really want to enchant the Silvered Ring of Concentration? Yes, no. He chose yes, obviously. Choose one of the soul crystal's properties. Attention, the item in question is guaranteed to take a single effect. When you choose two properties or more, the chance of bad luck increases. He hesitated for a while before he chose accuracy, agility, and vigor regeneration. Theory would probably have chosen an increased chance of a critical hit instead of the latter, but Ross remembered just how frequently she had to take breaks. It slowed them down, and it was annoying to boot. Item received. Enchanted Silvered Ring of Concentration. Properties, merging. Item quality, good. Auxiliary stats, +5 to accuracy, +1 to attack. Enchantment effect, +6 to accuracy, +7 to agility. Vigor regeneration enhanced by 1 point per every 3 seconds. Requirements, level 33. Weight, 0.01 kilograms. Durability, 115 out of 115. That was perfect. The ring had been fixed and got 3 useful enchantment bonuses. Theory would love it. The difference between the new item and the old one was rather substantial. Ross felt like patting himself on the back. Instead, he slapped himself on the forehead, saying, albeit without much vitriol, "I'm such an ass." An enchantment was never a perfectly safe procedure. There was always the risk that the enchanted item would get destroyed, be downgraded to a lower class, or just disintegrate. His beefed-up luck and other bonuses made that a lot less likely. But there still was a risk, especially seeing as how he had forgotten all about it and used a triple set, which was a lot more dangerous. Had he failed, he naturally could have made another ring or choose one of those he had been carrying in his bag, but that still wouldn't feel right. He had given the promise of bringing this particular ring to her and not any other after all. Right. It was time to get down to business. The pursuit would not stay put forever, and he had spent enough time where Theory's body had disappeared into thin air for any trace of that event to be erased. He got one of the crystals with a matching level out of his bag and summoned a creature that looked like an ape crossbred with a frog, a flat amphibian head mounted on a body of a primate. Reed Quacker, a creature from the Locked Lands summoned from the Realm of Darkness, level 88, abilities, sticky slime and insulting slap, stats, defense 124, attack 106. Hardly the most impressive specimen of the Locked Lands fauna. It was one of the unaggressive monsters. Everybody else attacked Ross as soon as he'd get into their aggro range. It was useless as a battle pet. Its attack was nowhere near as strong as its level might have implied, and its defense was low too. No matter how much you buffed it, your helper would be rather mediocre. It wouldn't last longer than it would take to be struck once by the kind of players that had been tracking Ross. A single arrow, a medium-strong spell, a sword slash, or even a dagger slash would put it out of business at once. But Ross did not intend to fight. His plan was to use the pet for something else. He took a few leather strips from his bag that he had planned to use for crafting weapons or ammunition. Then Ross crouched next to the pet and put Theory's boots on its feet. He did his best to make sure the boots would stay put and cast a Chaos School's spell on them that he had purchased previously. It was known as the Chaos Mold. It was one of the few that players could actually buy. It didn't affect players, but could be used to destroy certain items, such as small pieces of wood, strips of leather, dried meat, and other organic materials. They would all decompose in a few dozen minutes. Obviously enough, the spell would be useless in battle. Coupled with its exorbitant price, it was hardly among the most popular ones. The guild NPCs were baffled by the fact that some stupid noob would buy something quite as worthless. He had no idea why he had bought it in the first place. That was during the time when he tried to get his hands on anything remotely associated with chaos, which he had developed quite an affinity for. He had never used it before, and almost forgot he had it. But it came in handy now. Once he was through with the preparations, he gave the pet a perfectly simple order to run in a single direction, avoiding open spaces. The forest was large, and there were few open spots. One could evade airborne detection if one avoided them. Even if the Wyvern's rider noticed the quacker, they'd pay the mob no attention. It was just a regular monster, after all, something one saw as a part of the game's background all the time. Why did he start that operation in the first place? Well, first of all, he could divert the pursuit's attention toward the pet and be left alone as a result. The realities of the game were such that a tracker could be fooled by a simple trick involving somebody else's boots. That wouldn't last long. Even some low-level tracker would identify the swap for what it was. Someone of a high enough level would be able to do that much faster. Not this once, though. Roz had already seen that the quackers could move fast. In a few minutes, it would be far enough away from Ross where his summoning would no longer be sufficient to maintain the link with the pet. The game's mechanics worked in a very simple way in such cases. The summoned creature would simply dematerialize, or, as it were, dissolve into thin air. The tarantulas would find themselves with a right conundrum once they found Theory's boots and nothing but at the end of the track. They wouldn't find any leather strips. Those would be completely destroyed by chaos mold by then. What would they do next? They would obviously return to the point when Theory and the noob parted ways, and then start tracking Ross. They'd be real interested to find out how the girl had managed to get away after all. And her current location would interest them just as much. No one but Ross would be able to answer those questions. All he had to do was wait for the system message. There it was. Your summoned creature dies. The quacker dissolved into thin air, leaving nothing behind but a pair of cheap boots. Once the pursuit got to them, chaos mold would make the leather strips disintegrate, and there would be no remnants left. He thought he should take care of himself first, lest the pursuit reached him while he was still idling. There was nothing holding him there anymore. He took out another soul crystal, releasing the creature contained inside. Its level was nothing to write home about. Ross could no longer summon a high-level pet. It bore a slight resemblance to the lizard ostrich that had carried the other member of the couple that had ridden to him as he had been roasting the meat. Its size wasn't all that great, but it would do for a cunning plan. The monster in question wasn't the kind normally used as mounts, but the game mechanics permitted mounting them and commanding them to move. Necromancers and other summoners, however, weren't particularly fond of this means of transportation. Unlike a pet one would normally use for riding, it offered no comfort at all. The experience was rather unpleasant, the speed was low, and it required lots of vigor. Too many drawbacks, by any account. But Ross could deal with those for the time being. Two tracks left the place where he and Theory had parted ways, having trampled heavily over everything around them. One was left by a mob wearing a woman's boots, the other by the ostrich that had carried Ross away on its back. The trackers will have a hard time trying to find out what had actually happened and who went which way. Meet our guest for tonight. It is the gorgeous Jessica that had already cheated on her boyfriend with 3 different guys, yet claims she loves him more than anyone in the world. You have to admit, few can claim they've ever done anything of the sort, and I totally agree. But how many would manage to keep it secret? Very few. Also, have you ever heard of someone cheating on their boyfriend, yet remaining at the distance of just a few feet? You haven't, have you? This is what makes our Jessica unique. And I wouldn't dream of being a shamer in this situation. She has every reason to do what she does. Jessica, would you explain to us why you're doing what you do?
I'm doing it to get him back.
Get him back? But where did he go? Did he leave you and go someplace else?
Well, he's not with me, nor is he with anybody else.
Where could he be, then?
He hardly ever leaves his black box.
He's in a box?
It's more like a coffin.
A coffin?
A virtual reality capsule. It's a coffin, all right.
You mean he's playing the game all the time?
He isn't just playing. He spends all his time in the game. He even asked me for money for a new capsule with life, support abilities, I guess, whatever those are. Complete life support abilities. That's right. He wants the capsule to feed and hydrate him and take away his bodily waste. He just never wants to come out of it, and that's horrible.
Have you tried playing together? Many couples do it, after all. They claim it provides them with options they would never have had in real life.
But we have no savings. I have to work for 2 anyway. He's no help. He's a constant drain on our funds, and he's no longer attracted to me sexually. The game has changed him. You wouldn't recognize him at all. He only gets out of his box to eat something or to go to the toilet. And there have been a few cases when he ignored the toilet. He filled the capsule with his pee. There was a short circuit, and he nearly caused a fire.
You! That's as gross as it gets. He sure won't be happy about us finding out. Most people prefer to keep such incidents private.
Nah, he doesn't care. I'm sure he has someone in the game, too. They keep going at it like rabbits on steroids, after all. Even if you stream this footage to his feed, he won't be interested enough to finish watching it. He has no interest in me or you. His game is all he needs.
So you cheated on him, right on his capsule, having sex with other men just to get your revenge for his obsession with the game?
It wasn't that. I just wanted to get closer to him. I still remember him the way he used to be. He pays me no attention whatsoever these days, and I'm a young woman. I have needs. My shrink told me in no uncertain terms I should never go without sex for more than 2 weeks.
That is indeed a problem.
You tell me. I sometimes curse my Johnny. Once I even wished he'd become a ghost like that other guy. Since he seems to love that crappy game of his so much, he can't leave it for a moment.
A ghost? Which guy were you talking about just now?
Well, you know, that one. I don't remember what his name was. I heard it on the radio. He seems to have burned down or exploded in the capsule, and his ghost keeps haunting the game, and he has nowhere to come back to. It was absolutely awful of me to wish something like that upon Johnny, but you have to realize I'm really on edge right now, under lots of stress and with unsatisfied needs. My whole life has gone south because of my nerves. I gained 7 pounds in 2 months. Would you believe that?
A fragment of Loser's Day, a TV show rife with scandal and gossip. Chapter 6. One should never underestimate one's opponent. If you wish to get into the mind of your enemy, you should imagine yourself in their place and hope they weren't smarter than you. In other words, you should expect that you would think along the same lines and that your actions would be similar, given the same challenges. Therefore, Ross had a pretty good idea of what conclusions his pursuers would make.
Once they lost Theory, they wouldn't shed too many tears over her boots. They'd instantly switch to the other track, one left by a strange mob appearing out of nowhere and then running off to take care of its own business. That wouldn't be all that strange by itself, but they might try to track him, given the circumstances. There were no other leads, after all. There was a user-created mob footprint database. If one took a good shot of a footprint, one was likely to find out what kind of a creature had left it. The mob used by Ross was in it. He had checked beforehand. It appeared only recently, after the Locked Lands crisis. All those discoveries resulted in a serious expansion of the mob database. The trackers would most likely identify the species easily enough and cease the pursuit. They had no interest in mobs, after all. Nevertheless, Ross had a backup plan in case they stayed interested and followed through with the chase. That was the very reason he had begged Theory to give him her copy of the map of the area. She must have explored it thoroughly, or, alternatively, she could have gotten the information from other players. At any rate, he had enough details for making a plan. The worst thing was that he'd had to spend an hour riding the pet, and he cursed that way of traveling some 300 times. It was a singularly unpleasant way of traveling, a true torture, in fact. Crawling across sharp stones would be better than this. The wyvern was nowhere to be seen. Thus, it must have followed the track of his first pet. They'd lose it soon enough, and then spend some time looking at the boots lying right there in the middle of the forest, thinking of what could have happened and what to do next. The wyvern might reappear later on, though, and its rider would watch all the open spaces. They'd be someone with beefed-up perception, but Ross had really decent disguise. He had also put on as many items that gave him a bonus in that respect. Fortunately, his bag had been full of all sorts of items. That made him unlikely to be spotted from up high, especially given that the trees gave extra protection. But things would get hairy pretty soon. There was a narrow creek running around the bottom of a woody hill, but the terrain beyond it was virtually a wasteland, with nothing but sparse shrubs growing here and there. It would be hard for anyone to miss him there. However, he hadn't planned on crossing it. Any blatantly stupid act would be a gift to his enemies. However, the pet would have to take a walk through those parts. It was finally the moment of joy when he could leave this sadistic machine for torturing any rider desperate enough to mount it. He really wanted to kill this oversized chicken. It didn't care one whit about the rider's comfort. He rode the pet into the water and then set a direction and gave it his last order, namely to run that way as fast as it could without letting its attention wander. According to the map, there was a huge lake that lay beyond the wasteland, so the pet would have to take a swim shortly. Once it got far enough, it would vanish due to the lack of contact with the owner. The fooled trackers would have to think long and hard on what could have happened to it. The lake was really deep, and many creatures of all sorts haunted its dark waters. They included a few dangerous predators. Those could be blamed for virtually anything. He gave the pet enough time to reach the lake and disappear thoroughly. Then he started to float downstream, following the river. It may have been narrow, but it was clean and deep enough, so it was actually a most enjoyable experience. The water was cold, unfortunately, but he could live with that. Compared to what he'd had to experience on the pet's bony back, it was a most enjoyable journey. However, he didn't float for too long. Once it got really cold, he found a rocky shore, got out of the river, dried himself off a bit, and started his ascent to the top of a nearby hill, walking across moss-covered rocks. There were no trees growing upon it, but he didn't care much, since he didn't expect the wyvern back for a while. If the tarantulas reached the lake and lost track of him, they'd stay there for a while, searching the shores. They'd need to know where the mob had come out of the water, after all, and it would take them a long time. Ross could climb Everest in the meantime, let alone a measly hill. According to the map, the lake was pretty big. There was also a large river flowing out of it, and a few more flowing in. They'd have enough to occupy themselves with. The terrain kept getting rougher as he moved on. Ross walked through enormous piles of rocks, climbed them, and tried to be as careful as he could, making his way through the treacherous rock slides. He kept on climbing. That was the shortest way to the village. It would make no sense to backtrack to the fork in the road with a good map. He could get there directly. There seemed to be no areas of any interest to players here, so he could keep the risk of unwanted encounters to a minimum if he kept away from the roads. He'd gotten well away from the front line. The only thing that worried him was the situation with the pissed-off tarantulas. If it hadn't been for this conflict, he'd worry about nothing but the most unexpected scenarios. He could make a turn right here and cross the wilderness, and he would reach the capital eventually, without running into anyone for the major part of his journey. And abandon theory. The only bond they had between them was his word. And one's word meant a lot in the game, in real life too, come to think of it. Ross was accustomed to taking his obligations seriously. Apart from that, he was almost certain that if he lost theory, he would find other players eager to accompany him, and they might turn out a lot less pleasant or useful. He remembered the first two well enough. A mentally unbalanced, invisible archer suited him a lot better. After all, if someone went to such lengths to provide him with escort, he should hold on to the companion he liked. There was a mossy dolmen at the top, made out of rocks the size of railroad cars. It was a majestic sight, but when Ross saw it, he stopped and made a detour at the bottom, without risking getting too close. All kinds of undead mobs could haunt ancient structures such as this one. Most of them were weak, especially in the daytime, but even low-level mob of this class can be dangerous enough with high socialization. You could hack at a skeleton only to have 7 more arrive, accompanied by a lich with magic in his very bones. One of those would be bad news even by itself. And Ross couldn't take risks getting into fights where he didn't know the area well. The other side of the hill was a welcome surprise. It was a meadow of emerald green, with a few moss-covered rocks scattered here and there. It looked amazing, and it was a pleasure to walk over. He wished every terrain would be like this. But Second World was created to entertain players, and tried to do everything to keep them from getting bored. So, as Ross was descending the hill without a care in the world, the game was tirelessly working on preparing an unpleasant surprise. But Ross was no easy mark, either. He had already gotten into the habit of constantly keeping an eye on his surroundings. That's why he managed to notice something was afoot from far away. There was a chain of creatures, looking rather impressive far below. They looked exactly like the high-level mobs he met on the first day after the fall of the barrier between the known world and the locked lands. The wild hordes swarmed out instantly, destroying everything in their way. Some of the mobs were more civilized, and Ross had had the dubious pleasure of being their captive. On the other hand, he was never bored for a moment, and the time spent there was to his benefit. Unknown creature, aggression unknown, sociality unknown, level unknown, abilities unknown, stats unknown. Just as he had suspected. High-level monsters looking very much like the ones he'd seen before. However, he'd never encountered this particular species before. There was a lot of variety, after all. He'd be unlikely to learn any more details, even if he could get closer due to the same old level gap. Those creatures were strong, extremely so. He'd already killed a few wild ones, but he had a high-level pet to help him that time. He could just keep healing it and care for nothing else. It would never allow anyone to so much as lay a finger on him. He wouldn't be able to repeat that trick with the kind of pets he had now. They'd receive so much damage, he'd never manage to heal them in time. Ross himself was too weak for taking on the likes of those mobs, regardless of his talents and his oddities. He may have stood a chance against a single monster, but two would already be his demise for sure. Damn. It seemed as though they noticed him. They froze, staring upwards. Ross was a total noob, after all. He decided that he had lost the pursuit and replaced the items with bonuses to disguise by those allowing him to move faster. He was moving with sufficient speed now, but it was much easier to spot him, too, and someone's attentive eye had already seen him. High-level monsters usually had high perception and a most impressive aggro range to boot. They started moving fast, and they were still at a distance where not even the best archer would have been able to hit them with an arrow. Most monsters paid no attention to players who were that far away. But all of that applied to mobs with levels under 200. Just his luck. From the frying pan into the fire. He must have been looking at one of the invading parties that the tarantula slain by Theory had mentioned earlier. So what could he do now? Running away seemed to be the best option. Those items with bonuses to speed would come in very handy now. Ross crossed the last few feet of a steep ravine with clay soil and looked back wearily. The river that he had just crossed was flowing down below, with the emerald-colored meadow on the other bank flanked by a dark green fir-wood wall. The mobs were coming from that direction, one after another. They kept on moving in the same formation as earlier. The slowest ones had already fallen behind, which was a small comfort. Those things were truly hideous to look at. Apart from being incredibly ugly, they were some 12 feet tall or more. These were smaller, but Ross would still be like a newborn babe if he had to fight them. 1, 2, 3, 11 altogether. 2 would already be more than he could handle. As for a group like that... "You twisted bastards! Why would you go after a noob anyway?" he shouted, shaking his fist at them. His outburst didn't seem to have any effect on the mobs. They kept on walking at the same pace as earlier, without making any unnecessary sounds. The one in front would occasionally stop for a second or two and gaze in Ross's direction, and then head onward. The beast had an enormous bow behind its back, and the shortening distance would allow him to place a shot any moment now. Judging by the size of the bow, the arrow would be as large as any javelin. Ross turned around and started running across what was technically a wasteland covered in short, rough grass that kept crackling loudly under his feet. He barely managed to start running as fast as he could when he had to adjust his trajectory. There was a narrow arroyo right in front of him. He started following it, and shortly regretted the fact that he hadn't crossed it when he had an opportunity. The arroyo kept getting wider and deeper, and it could hold him back considerably. Yet he decided against going back. His pursuers might not be the fastest mobs out there, but the distance between them kept shrinking, and he had no intention of letting that go any further. The arroyo seemed to be mocking him. It kept getting more and more sinuous, transforming into an impassable canyon. Logically, it should get smaller as he got farther away from the river. Nevertheless, you could even see such anomalies in real world. As for the game, with all the mistakes made by its very first developers immortalized, anything could happen, and Ross no longer found it odd.
According to the forum posts, there were inbuilt and complex mechanisms removing those bugs eventually, but there were still quite a few left. The arroyo made another bend. It looked like its walls had collapsed here. He might be able to make it across and run right toward the village, where everyone, players and NPCs alike, would invariably get into a fight with the pursuit, and Ross could finally be left alone. He could indeed have crossed the arroyo here. However, it turned out that he wasn't the first to make this discovery. A dozen knights in plate armor formed a line, sitting on armored horses right at the bottom. They didn't make a single noise. Ross's first impression was that he had run into a row of statues. However, they turned out to be very much alive, as he noted with chagrin. He looked behind him with hope, but much to his disappointment, he saw that the mobs had already crossed the river and were now moving right toward Ross, taking a shortcut instead of taking the same way across the bottom of the arroyo as him. There were unidentified mounted knights in front and a wild horde regiment at the back, and it felt like he was in a bit of a fix. Nevertheless, if he could be certain about the mobs pursuing him, the riders were an unknown quantity. It might make sense to take a closer look at them. After all, they stood there motionless, without showing any signs of aggressive behavior. Ross felt he shouldn't feel so scared of them. After all, there was no such law that everyone met in Second World would necessarily attack you. The contrary was closer to the truth, in fact. It must have just been his paranoia. After all, dying right now would be an enormous setback. It was easy enough to see the knights weren't players. They weren't mobs either, nor were they an assorted collection of NPCs. Everything about them looked orderly and uniform, giving them the impression of a regular army. The only thing that set them apart was the badges they wore. They looked like an elite NPC warrior regiment. But those weren't mercenaries. Ross had seen enough of those back in the day. These looked more like soldiers of the Imperial Army. He saw their squads ride through the cities with a great deal of pomp once or twice. They had excellent armor, heavy spears with streamers tied to them, and narrow banners fluttering in the wind. These were just like them. He couldn't see their stats, either, only their names. What could that mean? Most likely that their levels were above 150. That was the very level where Ross was guaranteed to detect a number of the most important stats. There was a chance of finding out something even about level 200 characters, but those cases were exceptional. NPCs weren't people, but the game mechanics gave them virtually the same rights. Those creatures could feel joy or fury. They could also bear a grudge. One shouldn't prod them into any negative emotions if one didn't want to get on their bad side. It would be rather stupid to antagonize 12 high-level NPCs, so Ross smiled and said in as friendly a tone as he could, "I salute you, O warriors of the great Emperor of the West." One of the armored knights raised his hand in turn. His voice sounded muffled, coming from underneath his helmet. "Greetings to you too, stranger." The knight lowered his hand. There was no more conversation, nobody so much as made a move. Those NPCs looked weird. On the other hand, he recollected a hot topic in the forum section dealing with the latest events in Rallia. There was a discussion of single NPCs as well as groups of them one could encounter in the invasion area. Some of them actively waged war against the wild hordes. However, there were others who looked rather slow as compared to the former kind. Some players reported cases of armored knights standing for hours in blazing heat without any chance of ever encountering the enemy. Or a pack of mobs would pass in a few feet without any reaction from the part of the NPCs. There were many opinions expressed in this respect, but Ross liked the version that the game mechanics did not expect the kind of events that took place in the province. There was an improbable coincidence concerning the actions of the players who had caused an error. In particular, it affected some of the characters' ability to think logically. Incidents like this were reported to have happened before, but it was hard to bring Second World out of balance. Things would usually return back to normal quickly enough. Ross must have run into a party of those very slowpokes discussed at the forum with such fervor. There was no time to get surprised. He had to get away. He was still being followed, after all. The armored knights would probably turn out quite useless. There was a chance they would altogether fail to notice the mobs they were supposed to fight, so he shouldn't get his hopes up if he wanted to find some protection. He'd still have to rely on his feet, weary as they were, to save him. Ross no longer paid any attention to the strange NPCs. He descended the sheer slope in a jiffy and was about to make a detour around the warriors when one of them suddenly came to his senses and rode his horse towards Ross, blocking his path. Then he asked, "Would you tell me if you have seen any of those accursed creatures from the Locked Lands? We've been looking for a chance to fight them in an honest battle for days, and would be most grateful if you could provide any useful information." "Captain Fiere Darbus is offering you a quest. Valuable information. Quest type, general. Easy. Quest duration, 5 minutes. Reward, friendly attitude from the part of Captain Fiere Darbus. A chance of getting an extra quest from Captain Fiere Darbus. Accept the quest? Yes? No?" At that very moment, the thing that worried Ross the most was the fact that the enemy archer kept getting ever closer, and the arrows shot by the mob were enormous. However, getting into an argument with a high-level NPC, and one that seemed strangely slow to boot, could take a long time. It would be easier to comply in hopes they would go away sooner. He chose yes without thinking twice about it, and blurted out everything he had known at once. "There are 11 wild horde warriors behind me. They are followed by a few more, smaller ones that had fallen behind. Will that information be useful to you?" The captain fell into a stupor for around 10 seconds, as if paralyzed. Then he suddenly shook himself awake and bellowed boisterously, "It surely will. Our swords will be crimson with the blood of our enemies. May the great emperor be praised!" Other warriors shouted something of a vaguely encouraging nature and started moving, looking nothing like the statues they had resembled earlier. If it hadn't been for those special icons over their heads, they could pass for actual players. They behaved with absolute realism. "Stranger, we are the Imperial Guard, and we never forget those who help us. Should you run into any trouble, feel free to call upon us any time, and we'll try to help with whatever it is. To arms!" Hot damn. So it was the Imperial Guard after all. Those were elite NPCs, with levels that even Asian players would find hard to reach at this point. Most leveled around 250, which wasn't all that much, but there were others aplenty too. Some claimed you could encounter level 500 characters among them, and others claim there are NPCs of an even higher level, but the only certain thing is that no one has managed to discover the stats of the most impressive specimens of these destruction machines. Such fighters were the very reason why different nations that existed in the game could more or less successfully deal with various menaces and restrain the ceaselessly aggressive players. Ross, who was planning to make tracks only recently, changed his mind at once. The wild hordes were powerful due to their sheer numbers as opposed to the mob's individual abilities as fighters. They would include a few fighter bosses occasionally, but those pursuing Ross were standard cannon fodder. Therefore, the guardsmen were certain to make short work of the mobs. High-level monsters could be good news in this context. Among other things, they could drop valuable loot. NPCs are just the same as players in terms of looting the bodies of their slain enemies. In other words, they can take anything they please. There were even NPC guilds specializing in killing monsters and selling all the stuff they would drop. However, NPCs were not the same as players. Some stuffed their bags with everything they could lay their hands on, without bothering to cherry-pick. Others only picked up a specific class of items, such as weapons, while others still believed themselves to be above something as base as searching the corpses of the accursed vermin. The guards belonged to the latter category. Each of them had enough pride for 10, and they wouldn't even dream of looting corpses. The forum mentioned cases when these elite warriors took part in fighting particularly dangerous bosses capable of dropping expensive items. But the armored knights would stay true to themselves, even in the face of such temptations. As for Ross, he never sneered at picking up anything he could to further his cause. Money would always be useful. He'll need so much, it might take him dozens of years before he manages to gather enough. He also wanted to make sure the pursuit would be defeated. The guards had really good horses. They shot out of the arroyo like stones from a catapult. Ross barely managed to make it up the slope when he heard the sounds of metal hitting metal, followed by screams of pain and rage. He never got to see the actual battle. As he got away, he saw the shiny figures of the knights riding away, leaving 11 motionless bodies behind them. They must have remembered what he'd said about the mobs trailing behind, so those giants didn't have long to live either. Once Ross started searching the bodies, he was disappointed to find out that the guard were incredibly powerful. High-level mobs were ripped apart like chewing toys in the jaws of Spike, your psycho neighbor's pit bull. Given the level difference, the loot suffered as well. He didn't get anything of value. Nothing but bits and pieces of items, most of which were completely useless. After all, no one would be interested in an item with a description running along the following lines. Broken lizard chewer talon. The item received permanent damage in a battle with a strong opponent. Something like that was as useless on its own as it was for crafting objects. The only way in which such junk might be useful was an alchemical component, powdered. His wish to follow the guards back and search the remaining mobs that they would have killed by then disappeared instantly. Ross might have gotten greedy at times, but never so much that he would walk unsafe terrain in search of useless garbage. He had important business to attend to, after all, and someone was expecting him. He turned around and resolutely headed in the same direction toward the village.
The tower was a term that never had to be explained to anyone related to the corporation that had become famous after producing a globally played computer game, and it had a special meaning to them. That was the name given by the employees and anyone to the main administrative building that stood much taller than any other skyscraper downtown. It was built as part of a complex of other structures, and had a specific purpose, since the tower was surrounded by the company's data centers, research labs, and even residential buildings for the kind of employees that needed to be at hand on a 24/7 basis, their actual work schedule notwithstanding. Michael Silber lived in the tower's penthouse. He had a security system that could withstand a missile attack and a dedicated bodyguard detail at the security center serving the interests of just a single person living behind walls of steel, someone who had mentioned cheating death as his main goal in one of his early interviews. And it needed to be said that the Reaper never got to the old man, even though he was a very likely customer. He could have taken a look at him, and during one of those rare moments when he expressed a desire to move to a room with windows at best. But the bony guy would have no chance, even in that scenario. The glass was 6 inches thick, with an integrated nanobot protection system, so Silber felt safe enough. The old man spent most of his time in his inner sanctum. Few were aware of those being something more than just a set of small rooms. It was a real armored fortress with a dedicated security system, a citadel within a citadel. If the walls of the first one failed to contain the menace, his private rooms would all the way down to the vertical elevator shaft that used up a substantial portion of the tower's central part. After a few hundred feet, the capsule's built-in braking system would kick in, and it would land gently onto a transportation device concealed underground, which would instantly take Silber's lair away through another shaft, a horizontal one this time. There was a sizable underground shelter at the other end, with enough resources to keep the guy with the scythe at bay for quite a while. The designers of the old man's citadel had all left this world due to a strange coincidence, but not even the most careful investigation would see anything suspicious about their demise. The same concerned a large number of workers and others who'd had the bad luck of knowing too much. Some coincidences could get pretty weird. No one familiar with all the secrets concealed in Silber's lair had lived to tell the tale. Eric Coleman knew just how many ICBMs were ready to launch and how many thermonuclear warheads were carried by state-of-the-art Pittsburgh-class submarines. He even knew the color of the socks the POTUS would look up today and the exact identity of the guy that the FLOTUS would cheat on him with later today. Coleman knew many things, but he remained ignorant of the number of rooms in the old man's armored lair. He had surely never visited this one. It was as small as other hideaways in the capsule, which was hardly spacious, and it had a particularly elongated shape. Most of the space was taken by the machinery related to the centralized life support system that kept feeding the old man a multitude of special liquids as he sat on his high-tech chair that must have cost around as much as one of the most advanced fighter jets, a mechanized spider of sorts with wheels instead of legs. The rest of the space was occupied by Silber and a virtual reality capsule, initially known to the company's researchers as a personal deep immersion module. It was obviously nothing like the mass-produced models that only cost a few hundred. A cheap plastic fake was the last thing one would expect to find here. Silber may have been indifferent to how much space he had at his disposal, but he cared deeply about what had filled it. He seemed to have gone as far as using ivory, whereas the latest wildlife protection laws were so strict that even well-heeled citizens wouldn't normally see any of it outside of a museum.
"So, Eric, what do you say? Do you like what you see?"
"This isn't the capsule you normally use. Did you get a new one?"
"It isn't new, as a matter of fact. It is something slightly different from what you may have expected. This is no mere capsule. It is more of a remote control device, a personal one. The tests finished today, and every single thing was perfectly functional, which means it still works. This concerns our previous conversation about Rostovstev."
"The time we spoke last."
"Exactly. You may recollect me mentioning the ultimate solution to the Rostovstev problem."
"I get it."
"Time waits for no man, Eric. As well you should know. This heart, the last one I got, it's damaged. Good for nothing."
"I remember you telling me as much.
I wish you knew what this felt like, when you're absolutely incapacitated. Well, I shouldn't digress. Time is indeed at a premium.
A hologram flashed up in the space between Coleman and the old man, the 3D model of the unidentifiable, hideous creature hanging in the air was not so much scary as reasonably repulsive. It had too many tentacles, looked grossly whitish and squishy, just like maggots. There was a definite excess of slime, too. It could start dripping any time. Differently sized reddish eyes scattered all across the jellyfish-like elongated body didn't make it look any better either.
Have you ever heard any scary stories about Object